Good morning. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time joining us, as Jana said, you've come at a great day. We're going to have lots of fun. Who doesn't like ice cream? I mean, everybody likes ice cream, right? Like ice cream, you scream. There we go. Before we jump into the message today, for those of you that are here for the first time or kind of new around here, this is just like some fun, cool things that are happening. God's just blessing our community. But for those that call Blue Ash home, we know this kind of excitement and the things that are coming up as known as Thrive. So I want to give a quick Thrive update. Thrive is just a campaign that we launched back in February, really. It's really to deepen our roots and expand our reach. And this initiative really started in the hearts of our staff and our team really years ago. We had this dream to kind of expand to the space kind of behind you guys. But it's really an opportunity for all of us to kind of leave a legacy for future generations to continue to invest in God's people as he continues to draw people here. To thrive means to progress toward or realize a goal despite or because of circumstances or to grow vigorously. And in all of that, in that dream that he put in our hearts and the way only God can, not only did he provide the opportunity, he really provided the timing. The owner that we had a great relationship with, the printing business right next to us, he ended up selling the building, and so their lease was coming up. So this really was a great opportunity for us to start praying, like, is this the time? So I just want to take a quick minute to remind you of all the cool things that will happen. This will be the last big Sunday in our auditorium as we know it today. So the next time we have a big Sunday in next spring, this auditorium will be completely changed. This wall behind you will get knocked down, and actually part of this auditorium will get pushed back for our growing kids ministry. So not only is God growing our attendance here in the adult space, he's really growing the attendance in our kids space. You probably noticed that if you came here a little late and dropped your kids off. But it really helps relieve some of that pressure in both environments. Not only that, even more importantly, this gives us an opportunity to teach and break down the kids and the prospective age groups so that they can better understand at their own age how to engage, learn, and live with Jesus. So I'm super excited about that. This also allows us to increase our already secure children's ministry. I don't know if you guys know this, but years ago when people would come to church, the number one question families would ask, and maybe you could find yourself, put yourself back there if you have older kids now, like the number one question was, is the place clean? Right? That was the number one question families would ask. Guess what the number one question now families ask? Is it safe? And so we've taken that very seriously, and we continue to increase our security, and we're going to be able to do that even better. And another thing that maybe I'm most excited about, and it sounds really, really weird, but is our bathroom situation. And if you're like, what is the bathroom situation here? If you have not experienced the challenge of our bathrooms, you will after church, trust me. If this is your first time here, you're like, man, you do have to wait. Not only are we going to have more bathrooms, we're going to have the right restrooms in our new expanded lobby to help us really increase the way we can welcome our guests. And another way we're going to be able to just serve the people that call Blue Ash home is we're going to have like not just a counseling room, but we're going to really dedicate this extra space. It was originally planned to be my office, but the more we talked about it, the more we processed it, like, let's make this like a counseling room and a prayer room. So we're going to create a space for all of you that if you want to spend time in quiet and solitude, as we've been talking a lot about, we want to create that space for you. And there's so many other cool little upgrades that we're going to be able to do to better serve our community. Many of which, like we've already done trainings here for the firehouse. They've come here and done some trainings. We already have a church that meets here on Saturday nights that uses our space on Saturday nights. We hope to do more and more and more of those types of things. Hopefully, we'd love to be known in the Blue Ash community as the place. If you want to do trainings or use a space that is free, this would be the place to do it. So thanks to all your continued generosity. If you're like, hey, how do I get involved? There's still time to do that. There's a couple ways you can do that. One really is through prayer. This past couple of weeks, we've been getting the contractors in, trying to get our final numbers for our build-out. And obviously, the more money we can save on the build-out phase of this expansion, the more we can do to equip those spaces. So really just pray for God's favor in that. Pray for our wisdom and discernment as we continue to try to be good stewards, not just of the Thrive funds, but certainly to our general budget. And for the energy for the team, for the staff, as we still want to love and pour out our hearts for the community that's here and abroad during the expansion. We know that's going to come with challenges that are unknown, so your prayers for wisdom and discernment would be coveted in all of that. Additionally, you could help financially support the Thrive campaign. So in the back, you'll see some Thrive bags that look exactly like this one, and it's a little planter that you can kind of water and plant and put the seeds in there and watch, and that's a good reminder just to pray for Thrive and the things that God's doing here at the church. But it also walks you through how you might be able to invest financially if that's something that's on your heart. Again, we'd ask you to do all that through the lens of prayer. Ask God what he might ask you to do, give above and beyond your normal tithes and offering. And if you want more information, you can grab all of that. I'm happy to grab a coffee or a lunch with you to discuss any questions you might have. And what might be helpful, if you go to bacccthrive.com, bacccthrive.com, in there, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll be able to hear the original announcement from February. It's about 25 minutes long. It gives you all the information I've shared and more. And then you'll see another, it's about a 5 or 6 minutes of somebody from our children's ministry who's kind of shared their heart, what God's put on their heart, and what they've seen back in the children's space, which they do an amazing job. I'm going to brag on Hannah. I think she's the greatest children's director in the city, hands down. And if you have kids in that space, you already know that. But if you just dropped off kids today, they're going to have a phenomenal time. Not only are they going to have fun, they're going to learn about Jesus as well, which is certainly our heart. So all that to say, thanks for your continued investment. For those of you who continue to pray and have invested already in Thrive, we couldn't do any of this without you, so thank you so much. So I'm going to join you, or ask you to join me, in praying for Thrive before we jump into the message. God, just thanks. Thanks for what you're doing here, the people that you continue to trust us with. God, we want to be good stewards, not just financially, not just with the stuff, but God, first and foremost, with the people that you entrust us with. So God, help us. Give us wisdom, discernment, direction. Give us the courage and strength to step out in faith. God, to love you and trust you in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are continuing our series, Breaking In, and this is a series where we've been looking in the New Testament. We're finally in the New Testament in our reading plan, where God has really broken into our world and into our lives. We've seen God break in regardless of man-made rules. We've seen God break in regardless of backgrounds or requests. We've seen how God still breaks in, even when it doesn't seem like he's going to, like he's missed the moment. He's not meeting our expectations. We've seen how God still can break into those moments and those days. And today, we're going to see how God breaks in through a man who really points to God's son. We're going to see a man who's just following the leading of God. And if you've missed any of the previous weeks, you can go back and watch them on our YouTube channel, or you can listen to the podcast on Podbean or iTunes. If all else fails, just head to our website, tap on that media page, and you can listen to all those past messages. Now, before we kind of jump into the story, I have a challenge for us all this morning. All right? I challenge us this morning to be expectant. Whether you're called this place home or not, can we just be expectant this morning that God's going to show up, right? That God's not only already here, but we can step into what God's already doing. Expectant that God is going to show up in maybe very practical ways, that he wants to break into our morning, that he wants us to leave here differently than we came, that Sundays do in fact impact our Mondays. Be expectant and excited that God's going to change us this morning. Again, that we're going to be different. Again, not because worship was great, not because Blue Ash Community Church is great, not because I'm going to say anything great or that I'm great, but because God is great, right? So this story we're going to look at this morning is all about expectancy. We're going to see this over and over, this theme of being expectant. This man who points to God's son, the one that's coming, this man is the guy who kind of paves the way for Jesus. He didn't just go out there and say a bunch of words. He didn't just have excitement about it. He was out there challenging people. He was telling people. He was expectant that God was up to something. And we'll see the people were hungry for it. So to kind of set the stage, let me give you some background. The people at this time in this story were in a season of drought. Not like there wasn't rain, a lack of rain kind of drought, like this spiritual drought. God's spirit on display has been in a drought season for over 400 years. They haven't seen, they haven't heard from a prophet, they haven't seen a healing, they haven't had a spiritual experience like the one they're about to see and witness in over 400 years. Nothing, silence for 400 years. The closest thing that I can point to that gives us any kind of glimpse of the returned excitement of this group of people was 2021 for us, right? Not because, you know, COVID was kind of over and the world was opening up again, which I'll admit I was pretty stinking excited about as an extrovert. I'm talking about, of course, my beloved Cincinnati Bengals, right? The return to the Super Bowl and the excitement. It wasn't 400 years, but as a fan, it sure felt like it, right? My kids had heard stories about the Bengals being in the Super Bowl. I remember the 88 Super Bowl. I was a 13-year-old boy, watched it alone in my room, and I could tell you almost every play that was in that game. Like, I was excited. But the 2021 Super Bowl year, that run changed everything for the people in this city. You were caught up in it. I mean, people came out of the woodworks to get on the bandwagon. There wasn't enough room. It was hard to find Bengals clothes. And I got to be honest, as a lifelong Bengal fan, that was pretty stinking annoying. Anytime I'd see a shirt, like, boy, that's really nice. I'm going to go get that thing. They were gone. You guys gobbled them up, right? If you wore a shirt in the city, it was electric. Like, who day? I mean, everybody was out, right? I mean, even if you weren't a fan, you could feel the excitement. You got caught up in it. It was awesome. This is the kind of excitement that they had, but not for a football game. Excitement for God to return. The excitement of what could be. So with that kind of in your mind's eye, as we read this, think about that kind of excitement that maybe the most excited you've ever been, but for God, right? We're going to read this, but again, you're imagining 400 years of silence. All you had were stories from your relatives of the excitement when God was moving, when God was doing something. Then all of a sudden, in your own hometown, God breaks out. All those stories probably come ringing back that you've been told. But now you get to experience this for yourself in your own hometown. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to head to Luke 3. If you don't have a Bible, they're absolutely free in the back. Grab one of our journals as well. You can take some notes. As a matter of fact, I really want to encourage you, I want to challenge you now to get up and grab what you think you might need to get the most of what God has for you this morning. You're not going to be a distraction to me. I promise you that. So are we ready? Are we expectant? Are we expectant?
Yes.
All right. This is what it says in Luke 3, starting with verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. So remember, the word of God comes to him. First time in 400 years this happened. He went out to the hill country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and the people will see God's salvation. So John here, will be known as John the Baptist, is acting a lot like an Old Testament prophet. Now, a prophet is simply someone who God uses to speak about or tell his truth, right? So John is telling everyone to be prepared, to get ready for God's salvation. This would have been so much more exciting than watching the Bengals win a Super Bowl. And unlike our football season, which we're really excited for parts of the year, these people are engaged their entire lives with this. They lived a lot of their lives in involved in captivity and dryness and separation. This promise of God's salvation, God's Savior being near, would be like full anticipation and excitement. They were ready for it. The people would have heard, again, stories about God's coming. Now John the Baptist is saying, it's now, get ready. So he's gathered a crowd here, which means people have heard what John the Baptist is saying. They've heard about God getting ready to break into their lives and into their world. So they come out to see what the heck is going on. Let's read on. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that even the stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So quick pause here. John is warning people to stop listening to these false teachers, these false religious teachers. Stop doing these false things. Follow the true teacher, God himself. He's coming. John is saying, repent. Turn away from the way you're living. Turn away from taking advantage of people. Stop judging people. Stop hurting people. Instead, produce good fruit with your life, which can only be done, as we do well know, by being in the vine of Jesus Christ and in God's word. Produce fruit with your actions and with your words, with what you do. Not with just what you say you believe, right? That's the easy thing. The crowd is hungry for this. They're excited. They're expectant. So they start to ask questions. Let's see what the questions are. Verse 10 says, "What should we do then?" the crowd asks. John answers, "Anyone who has two shirts should share one with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." In other words, love each other, right? Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they ask, "Teacher, what should we do?" Now, tax collectors, if you don't know the historical background, were people that took advantage of people. So imagine the taxes you have to pay, you know, the bare minimum, somebody knocking on your door and trying to get out more than you actually owe. That's what these people are known for. The more they got, the more they earned. They ask, "What should we do?" He says, "Don't collect any more than you are required to do," he told them. Then some soldiers came and asked him, "What should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Again, we see John really using plain language here about how to treat people, how to do the right thing, how to love people well. Now, listen to the emotions of the people that is captured. It says the people were waiting. What's this next word? Expectantly. They were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with all the unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Now, they're wondering, is this the one we've learned about, we've heard about, we've heard all these stories about, we hear about in the temple, right? All of our readings, the Messiah to come. I mean, they're expectant, they're excited, like, this might be the dude. Now, shortly after this, John pays the price for all of this because he calls King Herod, he calls him out for his unrepentant evil in his life and his sin. He's thrown into jail. So the people are left with waiting again. And as a Bengals fan, I know that feeling, waiting again, right? But then one day something happens that forever changes the lives of everybody in this community. The Bengals win a Super Bowl. No, that's not what happens. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying. Heaven was open as he was praying. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So to provide some context here, John was baptizing people for their repentance. As they repented for their sin, and they're saying, "Hey, we're no longer going to follow these false leaders, these false teachers. We want to follow the one true God, the one we've learned about." Baptism is really just an outward expression to an inward decision, telling everybody that you're now a follower of Jesus. And we're baptized with water. The water represents a grave, right? You go in and you die to yourself, but you come out a new creation in Christ, rising again out of the grave or out of the water. And not only are we identifying a life with Jesus, we're now living for Christ, for Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And here we see Jesus is baptized, right? Jesus wasn't baptized because he was sinful or following these false religious teachers. Jesus was providing an example for all of us to live by. He was figuratively repenting of all the sins of the people, which is all of us, right? He was fulfilling the prophecy of John. He was identifying himself as the one John was pointing to or spoke about. He was showing people He was showing people he was the long-awaited one, the one they've heard about, the one they've read about. But there's something we often miss in this story. Let's go back and read it again. It said, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Like, we catch that one. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus is baptized with other people. So again, there's still a crowd of people around. They're still hungry. They're still expecting, like, what is going on? What is going to happen? But what else did verse 21 say? And as he was praying. The prayer life of Jesus is seen from the very beginning of his earthly ministry. Again, this is a model for all of us to follow. We might even wonder, why would Jesus pray, right? He's the Son of God. Jesus wants to instill this practice in our lives so we can be just attuned to the will of the Father as he is. In our own prayer life, much of the time we're asking for particular answers to our own questions, our own challenges, things going on in our life. Maybe we're even interceding for other people, which means we're simply praying for other people. But the true purpose of our prayers are the same as that of Jesus, right? They are to keep in tune, to be in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. They're more than just requests. We would want to talk to Jesus about everything that's going on in our lives. We want to invite Jesus to speak about all the challenges in our lives, certainly, but also praise him and thank him for all the good things that are in our lives. We want to take our plans to him, our schedule to him, our finances, our relationships, everything to Jesus and continually ask for his input. God, where are you moving in my life? What do you have to say about my life? Jesus is already modeling for this for us. He's showing us that we can have access to God through all of our lives. That God is always knocking on the door of our heart and the door of our lives. God is waiting for us to come open the door and have him speak, sit at the table of our lives, right? He wants that relationship. But what else did it tell us? Jesus was baptized. He was praying. Then the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Then there was a voice from heaven who said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. I mean, there's so much to unpack here. I'll try to do it quick. When we invite Jesus into our lives as Lord and Savior, when we accept him as the author of our lives, when we say, I'm done living the life my own way, that I'm not the author, I'm not the God, which is what we do when we're selfish and we don't accept God's leadership in our lives. When we begin to pray and we begin to seek his will for our lives, then God's Spirit descends on us. It's activated in us. It's the same Spirit that lived in Jesus. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead becomes active in our own lives. And we're going to talk a lot about this next week, so be sure to come back. But also notice the voice from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This was the beginning of the earthly ministry, as we well know it, of Jesus. And what has Jesus done at this point of his ministry? How many sins has he forgiven? How many people has he saved? How many healings have we read about? Right? What are all the good things, the good deeds of Jesus in his life up to this point so far? None. None that we know of. He is simply providing a model of repenting, a model of accepting lordship of his Father, a model of being baptized and praying for God's will to be represented in his life. And when we do these things, we too become children of God. And when we become God's kids, one of his kids, he's our Heavenly Father. He greatly loves us. He has great joy. There's a celebration in heaven, actually, when a sinner repents. And we can see that God has broken into their world. He's revealed who he is. Most of that crowd has learned about. They've read about, they've heard about this coming Messiah. But now Jesus reveals, I am the long-awaited one. I'm here in the flesh. a new understanding of God has been revealed. A deeper revelation of God has been exposed. For others, this may have been the first learning, right? This may have been the first revelation of God. But for both groups of people in that crowd, they are responding to a God who's pursued them. A God who's broken in, who wants to break into their lives to provide all that they've been looking for their entire life. The thing that they've been missing. This is why I said, can we be excited? Can we be expectant? God wants to break in, I believe, right here and right now. He wants us to have a deeper knowing of who he is. He wants us to leave here with a deeper understanding of what he can do in our lives and through our lives. He wants us to be expectant that he will reveal his will, not just for our life. Like, that's the easy, oh yeah, he's going to give my life. But for our days, every day, he wants to reveal his will. He wants us to repent and return to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pray, which is exactly what that is. It's a conversation. So I'm going to read a verse about how God pursues us and why we can be expectant. And then I'm going to show a video that I think beautifully illustrates how this shows up in everyday life and everyday challenges. Here's the verse, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Visualize that. Jesus is knocking on a door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Watch this.
I started to realize something. When we play this game on Sundays, and it's really the Lord's day, and the day we should be worshiping the Lord, a lot of times players are getting worshiped, and we get to go on this ball field. So since so many of us didn't get to go to church today, I have a word that I want to share. I know this is a little untraditional, so like I said, buckle up. Revelation 3:20 says, see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and eat with him and he with me. I want to tell y'all about a knock that I heard this week. A lot of people don't know this, but on Friday, my daughter, she's 4 years old, she had her third epilepsy seizure attack. It's my same daughter who survived retinoblastoma. She's been totally clear to that, but she had her third seizure, and it's been almost 2 years. She was about a month away. If she would have had no seizures for one more month, then she would have been off the medicine, but now we have to start that clock all the way over. It was on Friday, a bunch of kids were over at the house, and she was playing, and I noticed something was off. And I told her mom I thought she was having a seizure. Her mom is pretty good. She saw it, my wife, and we took her in her room, didn't want to cause a scene, and she started to foam at the mouth, and it was her worst seizure. For 30 minutes, she seized. She wouldn't come, and we had to call the paramedics. They came, and so over the course of time, it ended up being a total of 30 minutes. They got her in. My wife got in the paramedics with her. I got behind them driving. You can imagine all the thoughts that's racing through your mind. The last sight you see of your daughter is she's totally out of it. Got to the hospital, and my wife told me that my daughter stopped breathing in the car twice. So I'm, of course, praying. We get to the hospital. They give her a bunch of medicine. The seizure stops. She's laying there. And at this point, if she sees for 30 minutes, you start to fear there could be development issues that could mess with her brain. She stopped breathing. If there was no oxygen going to her brain, you know, you're starting to think about her speech be slurred or anything, or worse. So we prayed, and she had medicine, and my wife and I had to stay overnight at the hospital. And in the middle of the night, probably about 3 o'clock, I heard a knock. And the knock was my daughter. I prayed for her. I said, God, let this just be an attack from the enemy that's just trying to be a distraction. And let him have overplayed his hand. And my daughter come back stronger than before. When I heard my daughter talk in the middle of the night, and my daughter, she doesn't have any development issues, praise God. She doesn't have any slurred speech, you know, prior to this. She woke up talking clearer than she was talking before. Now, anyone who deals with epilepsy knows that it takes a few days for them to come back. You know, they usually can get back to normal wherever they were, but it takes a couple of days. They're groggy. It's a lot because what their body is like, it's like the TV just staticking in their brain. she was talking clearer than before. And it was 3 o'clock, and we heard her talking. We let her talk for about 20 minutes and said, hey, baby, it's nighttime. Let's go back to sleep. You know, and I just prayed. I started saying, praise God, praise God. The next morning when she got up, my daughter was so sharp. She was able to talk to me and her mom. I mean, clear conversation. She's sharp for a four-year-old. No stuttering. All her words clear. And my daughter, like I said, my daughter's already sharp. She was sharper than before. And if any of you were able to have a conversation with my daughter, you wouldn't know anything had ever happened. So we had a birthday party for my 7-year-old daughter that day. She got to be released from the hospital, and she came back home. And it was as if nothing was happening. She was playing with the kids the day before. And she had the worst seizure that she had ever had. And the next day, she's back out there playing with the kids. Now, of course, we can't let her get overstimulated. We have to keep bringing her in. Have to keep cooling her down. Can't let her do too much just because of protocol. But when I tell you, I got a chance to hear a knock from God. And what I want to share is we get to play this game, and it's great. And there's so many amazing things that happen in that game. And everybody wants to hear about them. But when we leave this game, we go back to being regular people. And regular people are living life. And people are waiting for a knock. And the word says who Jesus is, he's knocking at the door. All you got to do is get up. And so on the way, man, I'm nervous, but I'm praying. And I'm trusting. And I'm believing. And I'm asking for my daughter to make it through. I'm asking that she's better than before. And God gave me just what I asked for, plus some. I was blown away. And at that point, I knew, well, the game is going to take care of itself. My knock had already been answered. And I just want people to know, like, if you got stuff going on in your life, lay it before the Lord. Lay it before the Lord and trust. And be expecting of a knock. Because the word says what you have to do is you have to get up and open the door. He's not going to open the door for you. He's going to knock. But you have to be listening and waiting for the knock. And when you see it, you have to get up and open the door. And your blessing is going to be there. Now, I'm going to be here to talk about football next week. I wish y'all well. Happy Sunday, and praise God. Thank y'all.
Isn't that a great story? That's the God we serve. That's the God who's knocking on our lives. I love his line, like, let this be a distraction of the enemy. Right? I think that happens more than we know in our life. I say this often. I don't think the enemy's under every bush, but I think he's under a lot more than we give him credit for. Right? We can be expectant. We can be expectant for God to continue to knock on our doors. The question is, will we have the strength and courage to get up and open it? We want to see what he has, because God's always knocking on the doors of our lives. He's always waiting for us to come in. He's always wanting to be invited into our lives, to sit down at the table of our lives. And when we do, that's when he can do things in our lives. That's when he can do things through our lives that bring meaning, that bring healing, that bring peace, that bring hope. This is why I challenge, can we be excited? Can we be expectant this morning? Because this is a promise. This promise wasn't just for Jesus, right? This promise is for all of us. Jesus came to show us the way. He modeled the way to live our lives with God at the center of our lives. That's something to be excited about. That's something to be excited for. That's something to be expectant for. What I loved about, I mean, he's just a football player, right? Like, I'm just a pastor. Like, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to be. I'm just a man behind this title. It's a great reminder to me to get up and open the door, continue to invite God into all of my days, not just my life. And that's the invitation for all of us this morning. Whether you call Blue Ash home or not, whether you call yourself a Christ follower or not, this is the invitation from a God who wants to break into your life, a God who's pursued you your whole life, whether you know it or not. There's no coincidence why you're here this morning, to hear how much God loves you, how much he's pursued you, and how much we can be expectant that he will show up in our lives. So grab your Connect cards that Jana mentioned. If you haven't filled it out, I challenge you to minimally write your name down. We're going to collect these in just a few minutes. Drop it in the offering when it goes by. We're going to offer you some next steps because we believe God has a next step for you, that he wants to challenge you, that he wants to love you. He wants to continue to pursue you so that the Sundays impact your Mondays. And that first next step we're going to talk about this morning is accepting Jesus for the first time. John the Baptist paved the way. He pointed to Jesus. He was baptized. The Spirit of God descends on him. His earthly ministry begins, and we get to hear lots of cool things that God does in and through Jesus, and that's what we're invited to, the same kind of centered, Christ-centered, God-centered life with the Spirit of God leading our lives. Well, how do I get in touch with the Spirit? Great question. Come next Sunday to the training, and you're going to learn more and more about how to recognize God's voice and learn how to lean into God's Spirit. But if you've made that decision today, that you want to be a follower of Jesus, you want to quit pursuing the life in your own way, you want to be done with the author of your life, allow God to take over that pen and start writing a new chapter in your life. And watch what he does. He begins to change you from the inside out. You begin to see things differently. You begin to hear things differently. Because let's be honest, if you could change yourself, you already would have done it. That's the power of God's Spirit. That's what he's inviting you into. Repentance simply means I'm going to turn from the way I'm living my life and turn to God and allow him to lead my life. If you've made that decision, drop that. Mark that on the connect card, drop in the offering in a few minutes. And again, grab some resources back there. They're absolutely free. We want to follow up with you. The second is we have a memory verse for every series. We believe to get into the word gets into you. And our memory verse for this series is, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be provided for you. What are all these things? Read the rest of Matthew 6, the preceding verses. But it starts everything in our life. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the third one's like the thing we can do, the application. Be excited and expectant for God to move in our lives. Be excited and expectant for God to move in our lives and through our lives. As we pursue Jesus, we do that through prayer. We do that by opening those doors that we just talked about. We do that through conversations of other Christ followers or believers. We do that in a small group. We do that by reading our scriptures, our Bible. We do that by listening to other podcasts about Jesus. We do that by trainings. There's so many ways we can continue to pursue God with our lives. But we do that in expectancy that God's going to continue to do a work in us so that he can do a work through us. And when you're a part of what God's doing, there's something that happens in you, this joy that is unexplainable. There's something that you look back on and go, wow, I can't believe God used me in that way. Or, wow, I can't believe God spoke to me through that person. Wow, I can't believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing. Wow, I reacted differently to that circumstance than normal. These are the ways that God starts to show up in our lives. He becomes the forefront of our thoughts. It's not perfect. It's not perfection. It doesn't always happen to me. But it happens more often when I'm in pursuit of Christ, when I'm in pursuit of what he has and what he's doing. This is the adventure God has for all of us. So be expectant. Be excited. Continue to pursue him with your days, not just with your life. And the fourth is receive prayer. That gentleman talked about. I loved how he said, like, Jesus. His mom's in the ambulance, his daughter's in the ambulance, and of course I was praying, he said, right? How easy that is to just toss aside or forget or even just take, you know, it for granted. We get to pray to the Heavenly Father, the God that created everything. We get to pray. Now you can receive prayer. Lots of ways you can do that. You write your prayer request on this Connect card, drop it in the offering when it goes by. You can leverage that prayer wall in the back and write on the tags. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. Really practical ways that you can get and receive prayer. But I think the best way, specifically this morning, is to receive prayer by a prayer team member. We'll have prayer teams up here on my right and my left. Be honored to pray for anything that's going on in your life. And we believe God can still heal today. So maybe you need a prayer for healing. We believe that God has something he wants to speak to you today. We believe that we want to receive and celebrate the praises, like that man's story with his daughter. If you have a praise story, we'd love to join you in that celebration. Maybe you don't even know what you need prayer for, but you want to receive a blessing. Let the prayer teams just pray a blessing over you. Just see what God does. This is another way we can pursue God in a very practical way. And when we read in the New Testament, in our reading plan, we're going to read this over and over. Some things only happen through prayer, right? Watch what God does when we step over that line of fear, get up out of our seats, walk across the room, and just ask for prayer. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. If you want to drop your offering and your Connect card into those buckets, we would appreciate it. While they're doing that, if you want to grab your communion elements, I'll walk you quickly through that, and then we'll get out to our big Sunday celebration. We do this almost every week in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, that his body was broken, which is what this wafer represents. But it's so much more than that. The juices represents Jesus' blood that was shed for each and every one of us. The perfect atoning sacrifice. No more sacrifices needed. He took on all of our sin. He took on the battle. He received everything that we deserve so that we have access to God in a way that was never available before, so that we can walk in freedom. But it came with a cost. It cost Jesus his life. And when we give our life to Jesus, it comes with a cost, the cost of pursuing him. And for many of us, the cost is a little different. For those in the eastern part of the world, sometimes it costs them their literal lives. In our Western culture here in America, not so much. We might be made fun of. We might be thought of differently. The cost oftentimes is doing the things we don't want to do, but we know we need to do. But the cost is worth it. The love that he pours out to us when we feel seen by the Heavenly Father. My God, it's so worth it. Whatever our trials and tribulations are. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Let me pray. God, thanks. Thanks for this, again, this model of your son, Jesus. And as he was praying, the heavens were opened. And so God, we would pray this morning that the heavens would open once again for all of us that call ourselves followers of you, that are one of your kids. God, thanks for loving us the way you do. Thanks for sending your son. And so God, we would pray in these remaining moments as we turn our hearts back to worship that you would reveal yourself. God, would you knock on our hearts? God, give us the strength and courage to get up and open that door and say, come, come on in. Sit at the table of my life and speak into it. God, we love you. Thanks for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to sit or stand and receive prayer.